హరే కృష్ణ. డాక్టర్ భాగవతం క్లాస్ బాయ్ మహారాజ్
ప్రశాంతం భగవత్ శబ్ద సత్యం. यद्वासुदेवं कवयो वदन्ति ज्ञानं विशुद्धं परमात्मेकम् अनन्तरं तु अभयब्रह्मसत्यम् प्रत्यक्प्रशान्तं भवच्छब्दसंज्ञम् यद्वासुदेवं कवयो वदन्ति ज्ञानं विशुद्धं परमात्मेकम् अनन्तरं तु अभयब्रह्मसत्यम्
Supreme knowledge, Visuddham, without contamination, Paramartha, given the ultimate goal of life, Ekam, unified, Anantaram, without interior, two. Also, Abahi, without exterior, Brahma, Supreme, Satyam, Absolute Truth, Pratyak, Inner, Prasanta, Common Peaceful Supreme Lord, Bhagavat Shabda Samjam, known in the higher sense as Bhagavan. Yeah, that. Yes. Vasudevam, Lord Krishna, Shalaya, Varna scholars, Vedanti. Translation, what then is the ultimate truth? The answer is that non-dual knowledge is the ultimate truth. It is devoid of the contamination of material qualities. It gives us liberation. It is the one without a second, all pervading beyond imagination. The first realization of that knowledge is Brahman. Then Paramatma, the super soul, is realized by the yogis, who tried to see and not realize. This is the second stage of realization. Finally, full realization of the same supreme knowledge is realized in the supreme person. All learned scholars describe the supreme person as Vasudeva, the cause of Brahman, Paramatma, and others. Report in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the city of Advaita Brahmopanishadi, yad tad apyasya tanubha. The impersonal Brahman, effulgence of the absolute truth consists of the bodily rays of the supreme personality. Godhead. Yeah? Ahmantaryami Purusha Iti So Syamsa Vibhavaha. What is known as Ahmantaryami, the super soul, is but an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chadeshvariya Purno Yahya Bhagavan Saswayamayam. What is described as the Supreme Personality of God is complete with all six opulences of Vasudeva. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is no different from him. Great learned scholars and philosophers said this after many births. The wise man can understand that ultimately Vasudeva Krishna is the cause of Brahman and Paramatma, the super soul. Thus, Vasudeva is Sarvakarnakarna, the cause of all causes, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. The real tattva, absolute truth, is Bhagavan, a beautiful complete realization of the absolute truth, which sometimes described. The same Vishnu as impersonal Brahmana localized Paramatma. Vedantita Tattva Vedas, Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam Brahmehi Paramatmehi Bhagavan Shakti. From the very beginning, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Satyam Param Dhimahi, we meditate on the Supreme Truth. The Supreme Truth is explained here as Jnanam Visuddham Satyam. The Absolute Truth is devoid of material contamination, it's transcendental to material qualities. It gives all spiritual success and liberation from this material world. Now, simply the absolute truth is Krishna Vasudeva. There is no difference between Krishna's inner self and outer body. Krishna is Purna, the complete whole. There is no distinction between his body and soul, and there, as there is between ours. Sometimes, so-called scholars, not knowing the constitution of Krishna, mislead people by saying that Krishna within is different from Krishna without. When Krishna says, Man mana bhava mad bhava manya jiman vasparu, so-called scholars advise the reader that it is not the person Krishna to whom we must surrender, but the Krishna within. So-called scholars and advisors cannot understand Krishna with a profound knowledge. One should therefore approach an authorized person to understand Krishna. The spiritual master is actually seeing Krishna, therefore he can explain properly. Tabidi Pranipatena Pari Prasnana Sivya Ubudaksham Tiyaya Jyanya Sakadarshana. Without approaching an authorized person, one cannot understand Krishna. translation, what then is the ultimate truth? The answer is that non-dual knowledge is the ultimate truth. It is devoid of contamination, which are qualities, it's just liberation, just a one without a second, all pervading and beyond imagination. The first realization that knowledge is Brahman and Paramatma is the result of realized by yogis who try to see it without grievance. This is the second stage of realization, finding full realization of the same supreme knowledge is realized in the supreme person. All learners have always described the supreme person as Vasudeva, the cause of Brahman, Paramatma, and others. So, previously, Vijayad Bharat was speaking in general, and the presentation could be rather impersonal, because he doesn't mention the Lord at all, rather he simply mentions the negation of material things, etc., and speaks in general of some cause or reality beyond everything else. And that, of course, is reflected in something like Jnana Visuddham Paramartha Ekam, Nantram Prabhaki or Brahma Satyam. So, this could refer to the impersonal Brahman, because we see Brahma is mentioned right there. And often, Brahman is associated with Satya, etc., and Jnanam, Visuddha Jnanam. These are statements often made in the Upanishads. So, one could take this simply as Brahman, the impersonal aspect of the Lord. However, in the last two lines, then we see some modification of that with the words Pachak Prashantam Bhagavat Sapta Sangyam Yad Vasudeva Kavya Yoga Dati. So, Pachak Prashantam can refer to a realization of the Lord, a direct vision of the Lord, which is the yogis have. And then we have Bhagavan, the realization of Bhagavan, particular mission here as Vasudeva. So, we can never take Bhagavan as a name for the Brahman, impersonal Brahman. It's not possible, it's never done. Huh? And of course, if we take it in terms of etymology or derivation of meaning from words, Bhagavan is endowed with all bhaga, all opulence, all wonderful qualities. And so we have the six qualities of Lord, like Jnana, Aishwarya, etc. So, therefore, what Chakvara is saying here is essentially the same as Sudha Goswami mentions in the first canto, where he says that the supreme Advaita Jnana is Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Of course, some people argue, well, this idea is mentioned once or twice in the Bhagavatam. But if we look closely, we'll see it is often mentioned. And here's one place. It may not be obvious, but again, it is a similar statement to that made in the first canto. Of course, one could also argue that the Supreme Lord or Bhagavan contains Jnana, Visuddha, Paramatma, and that is true also. But nevertheless, he is known by three names, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So there are three distinct names given to three distinct realizations of the Lord. And at the same time, Advaita Jnana, he's one. So therefore, all of these realizations are contained within the Supreme Lord Bhagavan. How is it possible that the Lord can be impersonal and personal? How can it be both? They're opposite. Yeah? How can it be without qualities and how can it be with qualities? And be one at the same time. Just as how can an object be black and white simultaneously? As black is black, as white is white. Yeah? If the Lord is bluish in color, how can it be zero color? And it doesn't look possible. So Brahman is no color, no form, no fluid, nothing. And then Krishna we have, he's bluish in color, he's got fluid, he wears a yellow dhoti. How could they be one? how can an impersonal aspect of the Lord be one with the other aspect? So that, of course, we can say is the inconceivable nature of the Lord, that he can be both and be one. If he's distinct, fine, we can say, yes, he's different, that the Brahman is simply an expansion. Yes, okay, Shakti or whatever, that's fine. But at the same time, we say, Advaya Gyanam, that he is one. He is Brahman and he is Paramatma. So, therefore, we can take this aspect of the Chinchu into account, the Chinchu Shakti of the Lord, to accommodate both aspects of the Lord. So the interesting feature is that one can realize either or any of the aspects of the Lord according to different sadhanas. So if you do a different process, you get a different result, but you can realize the Lord. So therefore we cannot discount Brahman realization as being supreme, because it's part of the Supreme Lord. So in that sense it's ultimate and called absolute truth. But at the same time, we see the description that the Brahman is like the effulgence of the Lord. We cannot take it literally light, because light is a material thing. So, but it is like the effulgence of the Lord. If we take that effulgence as, let's say, spiritual. So it's an aspect of the Lord, just like sunlight is an aspect of the sun. And the two are very intimately related. In that sense, they are one, eka. At the same time, we also know that the sun and the sunlight has a difference. It's not exactly the same, because the sunlight is derived from the sun. You can say it's a concentration of the sunlight, plus more. Of course, we know this is sun, but within the sun also. So similarly, though Brahman is equated with the Lord and one with the Lord at the same time, we distinguish Bhagavan as superior to that. So we can always have an eternal argument, which is superior quality or no quality. So one can go back and forth, like chicken and the egg, which is better. Quality or no quality. So objectively, of course, maybe we could not, in terms of material qualities. But the example is given of realization in a very vague manner, and realization in a more exact manner. So, if we realize a mountain in a very general way, from 50 miles away, we get a very general conception. Maybe it is, yes, a mountain, that's what it is. And if you have very good eyes, maybe we can see a form of that mountain or the hill or a tree or whatever, but maybe we don't. We just know that it's something there called a tree or a mountain or whatever. Mm-hmm. And as we get closer and closer and closer, then we get more and more detailed realization. So then we can see, yes, a tree, and we can identify the type of tree also, even. And the species of tree, color of the leaves, color of the flowers, etc. The fragrance of the flowers, the smell of the flowers, even on the tree. So we get various realizations when we get very close up. So therefore, the Supreme Lord also, we can say, can be realized in a very general way, and that is the realization of the Lord. But it is very general. So the realization is that a minimum must be sought. That kind of realization, yes, some eternal substance, non-material, no realness, etc., that is sought. And when we get detailed realization, we understand the form, qualities, activities of the Lord, and develop a personal relationship with him. That is Bhagavan. And according to the sadhana, we get these different results. So with jnana, we get the distant result, the general result, and with bhakti, we get the detailed realization. So, therefore, the Lord can be both distinct according to how we do our sadhana and what we expect of the Lord. Then he can reveal himself in these different ways. So, the Lord, because of His infinite power, will bestow particular realizations of Himself according to the desires of a particular person. So for the Gyanis, He realizes Brahman, and for the devotees, realizes Bhagavan. So ultimately, it's the mercy of the Lord that He is able to manifest Himself in these different ways. So none of them are untrue. So we cannot discount Brahman realization, but we will place that as inferior to Bhagavan realization. It gets very general, whereas realization of Bhagavan is detailed. So therefore we take Bhagavan as superior for that reason. And that is, you can say, quantifiable in terms of the realization of bliss. So with Brahmananda is there, the bliss of Brahman is there, but compared to the bliss of Prema, it is insignificant. So based on that, then we can say that realization of Bhagavan is far superior to realization of the Lord as Brahman. So both are both the Lord, but we can say there's more mercy, there's more ananda in the realization of the Supreme Lord as a person. So this is the conclusion of those who are wise, Kaviyogadanti. This is what they say. And here the particular name of the Lord Vasudev is mentioned. So, in this way, Jagbharat actually is expressing his devotion. So he is not an impersonalist, he's actually a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. Nor is even a yogi, he's actually a great devotee of the Lord. So therefore, he concludes that Bhagavan is the ultimate form of the Lord.
There are different examples given. For example, Prabhupada says that although all the three are representations of the Lord, Bhagavan and Bhagavan's representation, Brahma is also so on. But as several places it's mentioned that it is like committing spiritual suicide, impersonalist, you do that. Which means we not prefer, although all are.
Not for the devotees, yeah. Yeah. But it is recognized as a realization, and one gets liberation from it also. So one goes beyond birth and death, and one can eternally get that type of result also.
Can one get liberated from the karma realization to Bhagavan?
Hmm?
One goes to Bhagavan from karma realization, from there he can go to God.
If he gets mercy of devotees, if he desires to merge in the Lord, no. So sometimes the Paramatma is merged in the Paramatma or the effulgence of Paramatma, so therefore it's similar to impersonalism, again, in
realization. What
Well, of course, if we take the highest person, that is a person on Bhava or Prema, then that is literal. If we take a person lesser, they haven't seen him directly, they have seen him through scripture, or they see him through the deity form of the Lord.
The highest person.
So Tattva Darshana. So that of course has a wide usage also on the Darshana, that one who sees, how does he see it? And so you can Tattva Darshana, you can see the Lord directly, which to say is available in Bhava and Prema. Or other persons also are called Tattva Darshana who have to some degree understood the nature of the Lord through scripture. They're also Tattva Darshanas.
The Rikis
told me
that when he approached
those
spiritual master, he comes to this
category,
seeing the Lord
directly. Well, that is always preferable to have the highest type of realization in a person, but most people aren't even qualified for that. So the highest type of person is described in the is one who doesn't preach because he doesn't see the difference between a demon and a devotee or a non-devotee and a devotee. He sees only the Lord everywhere. He's in constant bliss and ecstasy of the Lord, so he doesn't preach. So therefore it would be very difficult for persons to approach that person and get any response from him.
Yeah.
So therefore, it is said that usually the Madhyamadhikari is the one who does the preaching work. Well, the person can do that. We have these examples like Narada Muni, but of course he's a Shaktivaishnava of the Lord, so he has particular power to preach bhakti, even though he's on that level. In most cases, we'll see that when a person advances to that stage, that it is beyond their control to do one thing or the other. Of course, the will of the Lord is another thing. But usually, because of their attraction to the Lord, they see nothing else. So they cannot say, well, now I'm going to preach today. Because they're so attracted to the Lord, that's all they see. This is Lord Chaitanya in his ecstasy in Puri. He didn't preach much. Basically, he was absorbed in the Lord all the time. Well, it can also refer to Vasudeva in Narayan form.
Yeah, so why did
we
mention this Krishna?
Well, yeah, so you take it as Vasudeva, as Narayan also. Of course we can say that obviously it's not material, so we use material examples, but like light and sunlight, sun and the sunlight or whatever. So the form and the effulgence or whatever we see in the material world, the light bulb and its effulgence or whatever. So that we have the Lord and his effulgence, so to speak. So yes, it is an effulgence of the Lord, but it is the Lord expanding himself in a more general way. That's all we can say, huh? That's what an effulgence is. Because it's not different from the Lord. It's spiritual, but it hasn't got the same form of the Lord. So we can say it's the Lord's expansion without form, and so they call that effulgence.
If the qualities of the Lord are considered spiritual, how can be an argument that Brahman is superior or back and forth? How this argument can happen?
How what?
You said that we can literally debate that which is superior.
Yeah, in terms of material logic, we can say that which is better, form or no form. Qualities or no qualities. So you can always go back and forth. No qualities is better because qualities is distracting or something, you can say like that. And qualities would be more interesting than qualities. So based on material logic, no, we cannot decide.
So material logic means that we do not consider those qualities as spiritual. Because if there is spiritual qualities.
Yeah.
And Brahman has no qualities.
Yeah. So then we carry over the argument, okay, spiritual Brahman, spiritual qualities. But then we have to use material logic again to argue one way or the other, isn't it? In terms of our experience. So I like the qualities of spiritual qualities better, but that's only a preference we have because we think in terms of material qualities or whatever. So we can go back and forth to arguing in terms of logic, but that won't solve the problem.
This is yogi's relation to karma. What is it?
Well, they use karma.
They
have to accept Paramatma in order to get their realization of Brahman, you can say. That's the thing given in the Bhagavatam, I forgot where, but where the Paramatma, the yogi realizes Paramatma and then gives up that realization in favor of merging into Brahman. But he, by the mercy of Paramatma, he attains Brahman. So that's why he worships him.
The actual definition of realization, what is that?
So realization means the Atma realizes. It's internal because knowledge and consciousness is self-manifesting. Like light. A light bulb manifests its own light. So knowledge from within manifests its consciousness outward. So one realizes the Supreme Lord. How does he do it? The innate nature of jiva is their consciousness. And that is further, if we want to be Brahman, of course, we don't get the endowment of Chit Shakti and Vladini Shakti, Samvit and Vladini Shakti, because we don't have to realize qualities or anything in the Lord, so we get very general consciousness when we take off the coverings of avidya. Then we are there. We realize ourselves as Atma or Brahman. That's it. But if we want to realize something more than that, then we have to get the chit in the form of Samvit and Vladini Shaktis in order to realize the Lord in detail and get experience the bliss. So that is only endowed by the Lord if one has bhakti.
This argument will happen only based on personal preferences. But if we keep the personal preferences apart, then obviously no qualities versus many spiritual qualities. How can no qualities be superior to something which has, you know, it's like, okay, maybe it's mundane logic, like 0 versus 100, what is more? Obviously 100 is more than 0.
No, they'll say 0 is better. It's perfection. Everything else is, you know, so much there, then we go to 0, then that's the best. 0 is the highest.
Oneness
is the highest. What's that? Well, if he is a jivan mukta in the material world, he can fall. If he attains that state beyond the material body, then he doesn't fall. He's eternal. He's stuck there eternally.
The Prabhupada says that they don't actively be there. If he was pursued by his deity, how
can he just fall? Well, that must refer to the jivan mukta in the material world. He can fall. But Vishnu makes a direct statement that once you've attained that Brahman and you're liberated from the material body, you cannot fall. Because liberation is liberation. You cannot fall from the liberation state once you're out of the body and you're emerged in that state. No, because their interest is to merge in Brahman. If they are interested in serving Paramatma, fine, then they go worship Paramatma, then they can worship him. But Paramatma feature is not really an object of worship, because he is simply sitting there and as a functional deity to manifest the material world and to witness the material world. So we don't see devotees of Paramatma serving him really. When you start serving the Lord, then he is Bhagavan. He may look the same, but actually he's different. No, meditation. That's all the bhakti.
But you mentioned that they're meditating on Paramatma.
Huh? Well, we can say that the bhakti will meditate on Bhagavan, jnana. So all these processes, one attains the Lord by all these processes, so therefore it cannot be Paramatma or Brahman, it has to be Bhagavan.
Why
it depends on the attitude of the yogi. If his intention is simply Brahman, then he's using the Paramatma feature to get Brahman. So therefore, he prefers Brahman to Paramatma, therefore he'll merge into it, in spite of the fact that the Lord is all attractive.
How would the jiva get the concept of Brahma realization? Is it already there?
Through Brahman, through logical process, plus scripture. Brahma Sutras, etc.
But that is compiled with Vedas.
Huh?
The sutras are compiled with Vedas and
Yeah. So so they get some scriptural knowledge and they have some logical process that they can follow. Usually it requires a little bit of logic, but somehow, even by logic, there is an attempt to come to this position of some supreme substance or whatever like that. So, but of course it's not perfect knowledge, but by logic we can conclude there's something beyond the material world. That's as far as we get, so therefore it is a something without material qualities and material form. So then that's what we call the mind. Well, it is something like that. I can't say it's exactly the same, but it has their... See, it derives similarly like the Judaic and early Christians also are basically impersonal. But that God has some personal features also, in the sense that he speaks or something. They don't want to give him a form, qualities as such, but they do recognize he must have some qualities or whatever. And he's a creator of the world and so many things like that. So it's not Brahman in the sense of the Mayavadi where everything is illusion, only Brahman exists. It is a Brahman impersonal feature that creates the material world, etc. So it's a little bit Paramatma mixed up with the Brahman feature.
They have also 99 qualities.
99 names of the Lord, yeah. Well, yeah, that's not even liberated, if that's in the supreme, in the spiritual world. So that is explained in two ways. One, of course, is the Leela of the Lord, and he's actually his devotees. So they're not regular genus of false hopes, an arrangement of the Lord. So exceptional cases are there where the Lord wills something to happen. They do the first pastimes or whatever. The other thing is pointed out, I think, by Jiva Goswami, that actually, because the Lord can never separate from his devotee, he can never let them fall into the material world at all and separate from them. So therefore, he expanded them, and their expansions played the role of giant people. Anyways, arrangement of the Lord in any case. Because they're part of the Lord, that's fine. Because they're part of the Lord. It's similar to the other avatars. Why not just Krishna? And then we have all the other avatars displaying, including Rishabhadeva and others. They have all these different forms described. Simply to show ultimately that they are all connected to Supreme Lord Krishna, Swami Mother Lord.
Hare Krishna. So we are very fortunate to have this this day Sarva Mudas. All of you have read the book Salt and Bread. A lot of information on the teaching in Russia, as we mentioned. So Prabhupada very kindly consented to speak on that particular topic. What are the difficulties which the Russian devotees faced from various sources? So we are very fortunate that that book has become very famous in all over the world. How, despite all the difficulties, the devotees can move forward in Krishna consciousness. So I request all the devotees to please sit and listen to Prabhu's meditations till 8:45. Any questions you can ask later. Vande Prabhu Sarva, Prabhu Vande Russia Ramanam Vishnu Russia Vande Pala Prachanendra Vande Eppadi Solve Panni Krishna Gunam Eppadi Vandumane Endranga Aa Book Irukku Salt and Bread Avada Irukku Na Book Avada Pathi Pesirukku இன்னைக்கு சாயங்காலம் வந்து ரங்கலிஷ்ணா வீட்டில் let's read it. Further drop from I'm the program of the
You want translation? They translate simultaneously the translation.
So I don't need to stop?
No, direct in English.
Hare Krishna, I'm very happy to be here to see this huge temple and wonderful devotees here around. And thanks for the opportunity to speak about Srila Prabhupada's mystic power of visit to Moscow, Russia, where by just stepping his lotus feet, he made a huge revolution in the former Soviet Union. As most of you know, there were 16 republics together, and all were under the control of the atheistic government. So there was no any religious propaganda or piece of paper even was allowed to be distributed amongst the people. It was very, very hard to speak about Hinduism, which was an absolutely new kind of a religion at that time. So, just by one visit and stay a few days, Srila Prabhupada made one devotee disciple. His name was Ananta Shanti. And everything started from there. Very soon we come to know already some other names, other devotees. There are many great stories to tell about those days, because there is saying that it's very nice, very easy, very pleasant to plow the land and put the seeds, but the most, I would say, difficult part of it to actually water and take care of these seeds so they will grow properly. I guess everyone is agree with me. So Srila Prabhupada put these seeds and given mercy to this atheistic country and left. After that, he slowly, by contact with Ananda Shanti Prabhu, he started to water his seeds, and pretty soon it gave already some fruits. He has made few devotees who has started the ISKCON movement in Soviet Union. I was very fortunate to be part of this mission, and I am very fortunate actually. And joined in 1984, when there was still no books available in the Soviet Union, Srila Prabhupada's book, I mean. So again, I was fortunate to be part of the book production process, which we used to do everything by hand at home. Books were printed underground and very secretly. So because everything was illegal, there was a religious persecution. So very soon we end up to be in a situation when we have to always be careful, hiding from the police, KGB basically. But nothing could help, and very soon they started already taking the bodies to the jails for a few days first, of course, until Mr. Gorbachev has signed the paper that they have to first take to the jail the leaders. So they were having the idea that if we take the leaders to the jail, movement will stop, preaching will stop. But unfortunately, in our case, it was opposite, because when the leaders, they went to the jail, the other devotees became more active and they were trying to do something more, and they didn't know really what to do with us, because it was something new and very, I would say, intelligent people involved, all from the high class families, educated people, so they didn't know really what to do, how to deal with these devotees. Then they end up to say, okay, we will take to the, instead of keeping 10-15 days and letting them go, we'll lock them in the jails. So first they were catching and keeping there a few days and letting us go in different cities while we were preaching. And it became already kind of a, I mean, now it's funny, but then it wasn't funny, because we were asking how many times we were arrested to each other, different devotees. So one was 5 times, another one 10 times. I was arrested 22 times in different cities in the Soviet Union while distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, preaching. So, and too fast. And so there was no article that under which they could put us in a jail. So Gorbachev signed a special paper. They said, he said, just do something, you know, like they have, by the religious propaganda, they had some influence on people who got sick. They meaning mental sickness. So, like for example, my 23rd arrest, when they already decided that they will put us in a jail, the leaders of 7 Armenian devotees, they bring one person from outside whom I never seen in my life, and they give him probably some money, and he was telling to others, to the judge, that yes, these guys actually were preaching us, and we started chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and I was very sick, very disturbed, you know. I said, I never seen in my life this guy, I don't know who he is. He said, no, he's lying. He was falsely giving me book, and I pay 100 ruble for this book. So, because of this process, they wanted to show that devotees are actually mentally ill people. First, they took us to the jail, and from jail they moved us to the psychiatric hospital, where they were doing different kinds of injections. The medicine name I remember all the time, it was Galapiridol. I don't know what does it mean, but after they inject you this medicine, you don't know who you are actually. You, while you're sitting, you want to stand. While standing, you want to lay down. It's cold, you are covering with a blanket, and then you get hot, you take out the blanket. Your mouth gets dried absolutely, and your tongue gets like hard. You cannot speak properly. And then they come and take video of you. And next day you are on a TV show, and our parents, relatives, the whole country seeing us, oh really, they got mad. These Hare Krishnas are crazy. So, you know, but in order to prove actually that Hare Krishnas were crazy, they were supposed to get the signature of main in charge of the all psychiatric hospitals in the Soviet Union, who was a very beautiful lady actually, 42 years old. She was sent to Armenia from Russia, from Moscow, to make experiments with us to see whether, and give her conclusion that whether Hare Krishnas are really crazy or sane or insane. So she came and individually talked over an hour with all our seven devotees. And then at the end she said, oh, each and every one of you, you are so nicely talking about, you know, this movement and mentioning about this prasadam. What is this? I want to taste to see what is prasadam. So, what is required so that I can taste the prasadam? We said, well, we need vegetables, we need milk, we need milk powder, we need all kinds of, you know, things, and we need clean pots as well, absolutely new pots where no meat cooked. At the end we remember also that we need Krishna's picture and Srila Prabhupada's picture in order to get real prasadam. So she said, okay, make a list and give it to me, I'll take care of that. And 6 months we were already there, hungry, like wolves. So we made a big list and gave it to her. And she gave this list to the doctor in charge in Armenia, the head, in order to get everything what we have asked for. So they give us the kitchen. I was helping Sannyasadas, who was the main power in Armenia. And very soon, we were cooking lunch for about 40 people. That was including all the real crazy people who were there also. So that was including doctors also, who were worst actually, they were most crazy. So very soon we were having beautiful aroma of, you know, bhoga in all this crazy house, mental hospital. So after everything was ready, we offered the food to bhoga to the picture of Srila Prabhupada, Panchatattva and Shyamasundara. And then we served the doctors who were sitting in their room, about 7-8 people, I don't remember how many, but there were. So we started to serve them first, and then we distributed prasadam to all crazy people. They were eating their fingers with prasadam. So this lady was in bliss actually. She said, man, I never tasted anything as such. This is like nectar. And told us that I would like to talk to you after this prasadam, because I have only very limited time, one day time. I have to go to the Moscow, back to Moscow, and give a report whether you are crazy or not. And if you are crazy, that's very bad, because what they're going to do, they were going to catch any devotee from outside, bring to the psychiatric hospital, give some injection, done. All Hare Krishnas are crazy, and nobody is going to be preaching because nobody wants to become crazy, really. So, she called us up and she said, you know, I don't believe in God, but I believe all you say, and you prove that actually prasadam is something extraordinary, and I tested it, and I know that whatever you were telling, it was true. You are all wonderful people. I see every one of you are so nice and talking so nice and have such a nice attitude. I won't be able to go back to the Moscow and sign that paper that you guys are crazy. It is better if you go to the jail and rather than psychiatric hospital, because they will make you really crazy, and all of you, not only few people or few leaders of you. So we said, thank you very much. We are ready to go to the jail. So it was good for us, but bad for her, because when she returned back, she find her keys changed already in her office, and they asked to give her keys and resign from the job. And they kick out her from that position, but fortunately she didn't give up. She started to follow up. She wanted to know what's happening with devotees. And after some time she found some other devotees and started to communicate. Very soon she found another job and had a wonderful husband who supported her a lot. And from 1986, she started to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The interesting thing was that now she's old lady already. I have sent my book and she was very, very happy because about her also in the book. That when she was there, these doctors were acting like they are not torturing us, basically. But when she was not there, actually, the police would come, you know, and start to make an insult, calling us different names and asking these other real crazy people to, you know, create some fight, conflicts with us all the time. Sometimes they insult us to, you know, the chant the mantra, and we were using this actually situation to just chant the mantra, all of us. I remember Atmananda was having some problem after this injection, and he would chant Hare 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 Nama Krishna, you know, in, under these drugs, you know, which was looking little funny. But which reminds me actually the story in Ramayana, they were asking Hanuman to chant Lord Ram's name, Rama, 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 and they were teasing basically Hanuman, but Hanuman was so happy he could chant his Lord's names. So we were also in kind of a similar situation. We were happy we were chanting, but actually they were insulting us. The story I'm sure many of you know, but those who don't know was Narada Muni once visited to Lord Ram. In somewhere up in Himalayas, there was snow, and Hanuman was there all the time next to Lord Ram. So when Narada Muni came with the Veena, Hanuman looked at the instrument, he said, what is this? This is beautiful. He said, and Lord Ram said, it's a musical instrument, it makes very beautiful sound. He said, can I play? And Lord Ram said, hey Narada, would you give to my bhakta your veena? He said, oh, I wish I would give, but you know, he has nails very sharp, he would scratch my veena, spoil my veena. And Lord said, no, actually, I'll give you a better one if he scratches, don't worry. just give it to him. He was little bit proud. Narada Muni was little bit proud of his position, and Lord Ram was using his pure devotee Hanuman to break that pride in him. So he wanted to show that how, in which way devotion can manifest actually. So unhappily he gave the veena to Hanuman, and Hanuman start just making tring 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 and was singing Jai Ram Shri Ram Jaya Jaya Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jaya Jaya Ram. Then just keep chanting and chanting, and then all of a sudden these eyes started to melt. First grasses shone up, and then some flowers came blooming just and going towards Lord Ram. Narada Muni was bewildered, looking what's happening there. And then Lord Ram said, Hanumanji, bas, enough. That's sufficient. Then he put down the veena. But as soon as he put it down, everything again got ice and veena was stuck there. Narada Muni wanted to take, and he see that it's stuck. He was looking around, he said, oh, why are you looking? And just do the same, ice will melt and you can take it, just like Hanuman did. So he was playing and playing and playing for hours. Nothing was happening. So veena was stuck. What to do? Then Lord Ram, with smiling, told Hanuman, hey Hanuman, sing once more, let it melt, so you can give the veena to him. So as soon as Hanuman started, Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, Jai Shri Sitaram, Lakshman Hanuman Ji Jai. So this was the story. I remember, just wanted to tell you that. And then he takes the veena and gives to Narada Muni, and he becomes very humble. So anyway, they were teasing us and insulting us also in that way, so we got the, that feeling, you know, the teasing. But still, it was so nice that we get some opportunity to chant the holy name. Thank you very much. So they were thinking by putting devotees in a jail they will stop this Hare Krishna movement. But it happened the opposite. All the prisoners, they started to chant the holy names. Very soon, like in our room, there was like 12 people in each room, and out of 12, already two were starting to chant the 16 round mantra. And we were telling them, actually, if you chant, instead of 5 years, you will get at least 3 years. You know, all kinds of, you know, interesting things we were telling. And they were getting involved, so we were starting to chant with the pots and spoons. Everybody would chant Hare Krishna. And soon from other rooms, they started to join. Ladies from upstairs, yes, ladies were much stronger. No, that's a fact, no? Ladies are more strong and more faithful and more powerful than men, especially in jail. So they started to chant, and police would come and beat all of them, not only us but them also. While you are, you know, chanting the mantra, we bring these guys here to kill them, to finish this, and you guys are starting, you know, to chant. Pretty soon in the morning it became a tradition. They would, you know, instead, if they wanted to communicate, we used to, if you want to communicate with the down floor, you just three times you bend the floor. If you want to communicate with the up, you jump on the bed and three times hit the ceiling. So we come up. Or so very soon in the morning we used to. I used to go up on the window, and windows were like, you know, closed like this. You won't see the light, but actually you can at least make some sound. So I used to chant samsara davana lalita loka tranaya karuna gananganatam kartasakara nagunana vasa. And the whole jail together were chanting Vande Guru Sri Charana. So they said that one is Maha Mantra is okay, but that one is too long. We are not going to, you know, learn this mantra. But we will just chant the last Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. I said that's fine. That's absolutely sufficient for you guys. So they become very very in that kind of a situation. Actually, I would say they become very very sensitive. People, person when struggles, he becomes very sensitive, very emotional, and anything you say he will accept in his heart. And consciousness works very fast, very very amazingly adjusting to that situation. So most prisoners were very much, you know, interesting, asking different questions. You know, we would sometimes they would ask some questions we didn't know what to say. And I remember once we had asked our Guru Maharaj, we wrote a letter, secret letter to Guru Maharaj, and asked what to do if sometimes, you know, we were neophyte, we were just two years in the Krishna consciousness, we went to the jail, so we didn't know in most situations, circumstances what to do. We asked Guru Maharaj what to do in this kind of situations. He said it's very simple, you just look what karmis are doing, materialistic people, and do the opposite, it will be right, because they are always doing everything upside down, so you will be absolutely safe in that situation. But apart from this, they are very very smart. Sometimes, you know, they do things which was not only people, actually the animals even was very smart in jail. Like in the morning when they knock the door already, they open this small window and they give food to us. All the rats would come on the queue, standing there. And if one would come before the other ones will beat them up, beat that guy up. So they know already who will be the first, second, third. So they were coming in queue. And they loved me very much because I was never eating this food. I was giving all to these rats. So they loved me very much. I was their favorite prisoner there. So even rats were smart. People were smart. Ants were smart too. I remember every morning and evening they used to give one spoonful of sugar to me. I mean to us, to all of us. But to get only this one spoon sugar and mix with water, it was not making any sense. So I used to collect in one cup every day, you know. After 3 days I would have plenty of sugar, so I would mix and have a nice drink, you know. Once, but good. So in the summer when we were keeping that sugar, Mataji's will know that very well, because in the kitchen sometimes when ants they come, we take some water and put the honey or some sweet inside the water in a different cup, so ants will not come and eat. But in the jail, even ants were so smart that you won't believe I was keeping my sugar like that inside the water. They would climb up to the wall, come up to the ceiling, and they jump inside the sugar and eat it. Here in a free life, they would be so lazy to do that. They would say, okay, this house is, in this house, housewife is a miser, doesn't want to give us some food, we'll go to the next house, what's the problem? But in a jail, they have no other option, so they use their little tiny brain to jump from the ceiling inside the sugar and eat it. We would make our japa beads from the bread. We would mix the bread with the sugar and we keep in a plastic bag to get little rotten. And then we open and mix it just like plasticine, very, very nice material. And then we take our socks, thread out, and we make the bead bag. First, we were crazy. We were making 108 pieces, which was very long and deep and very difficult to hide, and police finds very easily. And when they find, they beat you up with that, you know, bead bag. Beat, Java bag. And then we say, okay, then we'll make 54 and then we'll take 2 rounds, it will become 1. But even that was bigger, then we make 27. And some devotees even, they managed to make just 1 beat and they put in their finger and they just chant on that one. And in a psychiatric hospital, we were doing actually a different kind of a beat bag. We would take 1 long thread from the blanket and we make 108 knots on it. And then you sit and chant with that. That was easy to hide. When you were that, even that was taking, we used to chant in our fingers. Anybody knows how to chant in fingers? Just like we chant the Gayatri, the same way we, there is, it's a Vedic tradition actually, to chant on your mantra. On your fingers. I think I'm already running late. Okay, 2 minutes more. So anyway, I want to just see how smart people can become in jail. So one guy was there who were a prisoner. He was sending always money to his house, maintaining his money, family from the jail. And how he was doing, he was gambling. He was always gambling, he was making all kinds of interesting things. And we say, would you believe it? Would you believe it? Nobody believes, okay, then here you go. Give me 50 rubles and I'll do it, you know. So like this. And then he would give it money to the police and police will take 50-50. Whatever you give, 50 is the police, 50 takes them and brings the paper that from the family, yes, I received the money. Wife or children, you know, whoever. So this guy once, we were eating food and one fly came inside the water. And the guy who was having that cup, he took out and threw it on the table and the fly was dead, no? Because of the water. So then he started to touch and playing, you know, there's nothing to do, so he started to play and then he said, oh, he's dead, you know. And then he asked the guy, he said, I will make this fly now fly, I'll give him a life, would you believe it? Everybody says, no, it's dead, we can see it's not moving anymore. So he would ask, do you believe it? No. Okay. Do you believe it? No. Do you believe it? No. Okay, then you give me 50 rubles or whatever. And then I'll make him fly. If I won't make it fly, then I'll give you 50 rubles back from my pocket. And then he jumped on me and said, hey, Hare Krishna, what about you? Do you believe? I really could not believe, but because he did previously so many amazing things, I said, yes, I believe. He said, okay, then you don't give me money. Then he started to ask everyone, question everyone, get some money. And now I am asking you, do you believe that fly can fly or not? Anybody believes? Nobody believes. Anybody believes that guy can give life to the fly to flew away? Raise your hand. Anybody believes? He believes, because I know why he believes, because he read the book. And the answer is there. So, but nobody else believes me, right? You don't even believe me? I told you our believers over here, but sounds like nobody believes me even. Why I'm sitting here if you don't believe me? So anyway, what this guy did, he took handful of salt, namak, and just made a pyramid on top of this fly. I don't know the scientific explanation of this, but sounds like salt is sucking all the water out of the body of the fly. And then he started with the matchstick, you know, little bit moving here and there, and then fly came to the consciousness and flew away. So this is how he made money. Now, after this incident, I was constantly thinking, and until now I cannot understand what was really happening. So what happened actually? If the fly was dead, then means the soul was supposed to go somewhere, transform or whatever, something was supposed to happen. Then if it was gone, then how it came back again? Or if it didn't gone, then why he was dead? If you would not do anything, he would definitely be dead. So because of the time, I have to stop here. And you can think about it, and if anybody gets an answer, let me know also. Thank you very much. I hope this evening we will have some more time, we can discuss about it. Oh, the Russian Lila, instead of Rasa Lila, it's called Russian Lila. Hare Krishna, thank you.
Alexei Musatov is still alive? Alexei Musatov?
Must be.
Yeah, that was bad.